All right. And Facebook Live going. And that is Facebook Live on the WineCellarMedia.com supporters group and Facebook Live publicly on the WineCellarMedia.com Facebooze page. And podcast audio going. Everything seems pretty gosh darn exciting. I'm excited. You're excited. Get ignited.
Now, sisters and brothers, we know we got over by the blood, the sweat, and the tears of sheroes and heroes, some whose names we know and some whose names we do not know. But I'm going to tell you something. We have been here before. Now, the only difference is we got some company, Rev. We got our gay lesbian sisters and brothers with us this time. We got our Hispanic, Asian, Native American sisters and brothers with us this time. I think Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King said we may not have gotten here on the same ship, but we are in the same boat right now.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
And people just being total fucking assholes. Man, let's take a look at the gosh darn decibels there. That's pretty good stuff. Okay, WineCellarMedia.com, PayPal.me/PhoenixandWilliam, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Do not go to the Wine Cellar Media Teespring for t-shirts and whatnot. They do have a great deal of whatnot. You go to Bed Bath & Beyond, there's a great deal of beyond. I'll tell you that right now, big buddy boy. All right, so episode title got a little something to do with Maxine Waters and a little bit of civility, if you will, with me. Are you feeling me? All right, we got Phoenix Kaleeder here, William J. Blackass Motherfucker, a.k.a. Dark-Skinned Nigglesworth. Mm-hmm. And we don't have the cat Jamal Nigglesworth in here right now. And you can follow Phoenix Kaleeder on the Twitters at Uppity Negress. 2 P's, 2 T's, 2 S's at Uppity Negress. All right, let me get down with the fucking get down. I actually got to keep these links moving around. You have your stuff open.
I do. While we're getting there though,
yeah.
I somehow got tagged in a Twitter thread with a man. A white man named Travis Mallard.
I've never heard that fucking name before.
I'm not sure if it's actually supposed to be Travis and it's just misspelled. I don't really know. His background picture is him wearing camouflage and a Confederate flag. And he apparently has a SoundCloud called Hick Hop Redneck.
God damn it.
So.
God damn it.
That's apparently a thing. Apparently his latest track is My Trailer, My Hood. We might get into that later because this looks fucking hilarious.
I don't have to fucking deal with this shit.
See, it's not just Becky's, it's Brad's too, nigga.
Wait, it's just his? Because I found this, I went straight to a Yahoo search and the shit went to fucking YouTube, which is owned by Google, because competition. But fuck it. Wait, so you think this might be the same cat? This one says uploaded by Minithin, so I should go to the SoundCloud.
Maybe. I'll just leave my phone on for you here, because, like, this is his video, so you can get, like, the visual of him in it and shit. So, yeah, and there's his little background. So if you want to look for that, you can. All right.
Jesus Christ, fucking hip-hop.
So before we get to hip-hop, let's do some actual fucking news.
No, I don't have to do shit.
I have to do shit. See, niggas get fucking uppity. See what happens when you give niggas choices? All right. So, Memphis. There is a current lawsuit from black farmers who are alleging that they were sold fake seeds. What kind of racist asshole do you have to be to sell fake seeds to somebody? Like, I am confusion. Honestly.
Like fucking marbles?
Jesus. So, Mid-South farmers filed a lawsuit against a company that they said sold them fake soybean seeds at a convention. A group of African-American farmers from Louisiana and the Mid-South say that the Stein, S-T-I-N-E, seed company purposefully switched seeds in order to sell black farmers a subpar product at the Mid-South Farm and Gin Show. Okay. Farm and Gin Show, all right. In March of 2017. Despite above-average rainfall, experienced black farmers saw limited soybean yield from the Stein seeds during the 2017 harvest. Thomas Burrell, the president of the Black Farmers and Agriculturalists Association, says, Mother Nature doesn't discriminate. It doesn't rain on white farms, but not black farms. Insects don't only attack black farmers' land. Why is it then that white farmers buying Stein seeds and see their yield at 60, 70, 80, and even 100 bushels of soybeans, while black farmers using the same exact equipment and same land all of a sudden are only coming up with 5, 6, or 7 bushels? After losing millions of dollars, which, by the way, millions of dollars is already, like, fucking serious, but, like, if you're a farmer, that's extra fucking serious, because farmers don't make shit. They really, like, they're, like, maybe 30 grand a year. Like, farmers do not be bringing in the money at all. So after losing millions of dollars, the farmers took the seeds to experts at the Mississippi State University to have them tested. They say the tests show the seeds sold to black farmers were not actually certified Stein seeds. The black farmer said the distributor working for the Stein Seed Company used labeled certified seed bags, tampering with factory sewn seals in order to remove the certified seeds. So they didn't even just sell them the wrong shit, they mislabeled it on purpose. Like, that is a higher level of assholery. To take a product, unpackage it, repackage it, and then sell it to somebody. Jesus. All right. And then they said the distributors would then sell the fake certified seeds to farmers at a high price. The farmers bought more than $100,000 in soybean seeds from the distributor, plus an additional $100,000 of chemicals. Damn. As for a motive, Burrell said farming is a very competitive industry and unscrupulous people like to see black farmers as easy prey. He said by hurting the farmer's bottom line, someone else is going to be able to swoop in and buy up the land that should belong to black farmers. All we have to do is look at here. 80 years ago, you had a million black farmers. Today, you have less than 5,000. These individuals didn't buy 16 million acres of land just to let it lay idle. Their sons and daughters, the heirs of black farmers, want to farm just like the sons and daughters of white farmers. So we have to acknowledge racism is the motivation here. Now, I think we covered a story maybe like last year, right? Where it was like farmers were suing the United States government for racism because they were refusing loans to black farms. Remember that shit?
Wait a second. I don't. No, yeah. I do not.
I believe we covered that last year.
Yeah. Your memory is pretty fucking quick. Like, I mean, once you go back like 10 years, then like, I don't know what happens to your memory. But on some 2 years, 3 years ago, shit, you're pretty nice.
Yeah, we covered a story about that because basically farmers were, there's like all these government agencies to help farmers, and farmers were going to these agencies and be like, oh, you know, I need money for a new tractor, or I need money for, you know, extra pesticides this year, or what the fuck ever, and they kept being denied, so they're actually suing the federal government, and they won, actually. Several farmers did a class action lawsuit and won, so, which is also, like, the whole fucking thing is weird to me. Like, I understand racism exists and all that, but it's like, these people are growing our food. Should we maybe not fuck with them because they're growing our food?
Man, then, like, I'm like, how you see, like, where it can go beyond racism and you're talking about the food. Look at what white people do to white people. Let's not forget Freedom shit. Industries and what the fuck they did to that, like, a whole school of elementary school students got fucked off. Like, essentially, like, a whole, like, little town of fucking people in West Virginia. Real close to where radio host Bob Kincaid is. Yeah. That fucking worth. I think they spilled like coal ash into the water, mm-hmm. and like people couldn't shower. The shit would burn them, fuck them all up.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Fucking gnarly. Yeah. Just look at what white people do to other white people.
That's true. Which just, I don't know. It's just like, I can't imagine being like such a fucking sadist and such a fucking asshole that you're like, yeah, it's gonna fuck me up in the long run, but I don't care. I get to fuck somebody else up first. Like, I'm just trying to survive shit. Like, I'm not trying to do shit that's gonna come back to bite me in the ass. I'm not gonna fucking take, fuck up farmers' crops because I like to eat, nigga. Like, I'm not trying to fuck up the food chain. What the hell?
White people are the bees of society. They will fucking die to sting you.
Shit. That's actually fucking accurate as shit. All right, so, yeah, the farmers filed a class action lawsuit against the United States District Court in for the Western District of the Tennessee Western Division. What the hell? Who is naming these things?
A nigga from West Side Connection. Ice Cube named it.
All right, so the District Court for the Western District of the Tennessee Western Division. All right. On April 2018, against the Stein Seed Company, one of the largest genetic seed trait manufacturers in the world. Tennessee Representative G.A. Hardaway said he'll push the state government to investigate these allegations. Don't worry, y'all, we gonna investigate ourselves. We will explore avenues, whether it's civil or criminal, dealing with fraud. Those issues which have been negatively impacted, negatively impacted our black farmers, those who are in the chain of commerce and agriculture, will be looking at how the state of Tennessee can protect the interests of those citizens. Of course, the Stein Seed Company president, Myron Stein, said in a statement, "The lawsuit against the Stein Seed Company is without merit and factually unsupportable. Stein takes seriously any allegations of unlawful, improper, or discriminatory conduct and is disturbed by the baseless allegations leveled against the company. Upon learning of these claims, the company took swift action to conduct an internal investigation, which has not revealed any evidence that would support the allegations. Stein intends to vigorously defend itself against this meritless lawsuit and has filed a motion to dismiss. Our focus on continuing to serve all our customers with the highest degree of integrity and respect is the bedrock of our company's values." Okay. So, that's what happens when you investigate yourself. You never did anything wrong.
All right, and there's John Dodge. I think I saw Katie Loco over there. Didn't Katie Loco send you a gift online? Yeah, yes, Katie Loco came through. There's Jess Loco. Jess Loco, again, like, folks be fucking helping us out, right? Like, we have a hooded sweatshirt. Uh-huh. And a fucking heavy-ass winter coat in here.
Yes.
Because of Jess Loco. And fucking extra coasters to set down a tasty, refreshing beverage on. Yes. So that it doesn't mess up our very expensive furniture from Goodwill.
Our very expensive furniture from Goodwill.
Yeah, like whenever whoever bought it first, they paid a lot.
Yeah.
And that pretty pricey, buddy. Yes. Wherever they originally got it.
Yeah, it was originally pricey because it was Ethan fucking Allen.
What, the furniture?
Some of it, yeah. Some of it's Ethan Allen furniture.
Yeah, I know, right? That's a brand I'm very familiar with. I study them a lot. Read their books, check out their documentaries. They got a lot of Malcolm X quotes. Mm-hmm. Very good stuff.
Okay.
Very important stories. What do you got, Jew lady? I want to get to this motherfucker, man.
This
nigga beefing with the teeth. And also because there's something else, right? The story behind the story. On this motherfucker beefing with the Tiefen.
Yeah. Oh, I have that one up. You wanna? Oh, you wanna read it?
Yes, ma'am.
You read it.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. This posted by Kelly Weil. All right. On the Beast of Which Is Daily. All right. Kelly Weil has this article up. Kind of editorial-fied. That's how this outlet gets down. They have their opinion. They weave it into the facts. I can dig it. I do it too. Article goes: protesters who cover their faces could spend more than a decade in prison under an anti-fascist bill by House McPublicans. Excuse the Unmasking Antifa Act, the UAA of the USA, introduced last month by Representative Dan Donovan. You'll recognize that name, of New York. Would impose harsh penalties on anyone who injures, oppresses, threatens, or mctimidates anybody while wearing a mask or disguise. The legislation could send people to prison for up to 15 years. That's 15 fuckers. This mirrors the controversial state laws originally designed at cracking down on the Ku Klux Klan, but unlike those state laws, Donovan's bill is a direct shot at leftist protesters, and it might be unconstitutional, experts say. You don't need much more than that from this article. What up?
It might be. It is. You can't target groups. They're literally calling Antifa a group and targeting Antifa. Antifa's in the name of the bill.
Yeah. And then this guy Donovan, like this, see, this is similar state laws. And so Donovan, he didn't care about that shit with the Klan. And I went and looked, and I was like, let's see what he had to say about, you know, during Ferguson when the Klan showed up, you know, while Ferguson was cracking off in 2014 in the late summer. And not much talking, doing words with his face, but you might remember his fucking name, because before he was a representative, Mr. McDonardvin, Skibby Flippy Jibby Doo, Phoenix Kaliter's a Jew.
Yes, I am.
Let me make sure I got it right. He was a prosecutor, and he did the same thing that was done in Florida, threw the case and let the murderer of Eric Garner, Daniel Pantaleo, very Italian name, let him walk.
Of course.
That's who this guy is. So surprise, surprise, the guy that said, you murder big niggers that stop fights in their neighborhood, is also saying, you might be white, but you ain't right. Is gonna fucking try to take down the ones that mask up. And remember, the police were there because someone called them or a commotion came about because there was a fight and Eric Garner broke up that fight. That's why they murdered him. That particular encounter had jack fuck to do with Schmigarettes.
Right.
All right. But then you got fucking these libertarian assholes walking around with the going to D.C. passing out free cigarettes in the name of Eric Garner. Nobody has fracking information. There's Theo Loco from the Twitter to the Facebook.
The only reason they brought that up was just, not the libertarians, but like the right wing in general, because that was the propaganda, because he was a criminal, because he was selling Lucy's.
Yeah.
So that was like, you know.
Which is, like, I mean.
Like with Mike Brown, he stole something from the convenience store. He didn't. And even if he did, I would like to think that that's not an offense punishable by death.
No, he didn't. That was a misunderstanding about the cigarillos that he had prepaid for. Bob Kincaid got me saying that, cigarillos. All right, fucking, but also the story behind the story. Now, yes. Where did Kelly Weil post this article? On the Daily Beast.
Yes.
Now, this is like some very subtle reaching out to the left by the liberal Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching the Daily Beast, and Huffington Post has been doing this.
Huffington Post also covered the story.
Oh, And covering more like sex workers' rights shit. Huffington Post was not covering sex workers' rights some years ago.
Nope.
But they're trying to smoothly reach out to the left. This is how you do it. Because there's some folks that are on there just like, I shouldn't have to be nice to the Bernie bros. Mm-hmm. So you want to lose? So people like Kelly Weil and whoever, like the editors at the Daily Beast, that green light or red light shit being posted.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. But also, I know what you're doing.
Right.
And anybody tuned into the Wine Cellar knows what you're doing. So you gotta actually take action. Like, you need to fucking actually replace Cory Booker. All right, you need to actually get rid of fucking Debbie Wasserman Schultz. You had Tim Canovan? I think his name was Canova. Canova. Jesus Christ. Tim Canova, who was running against Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and the fucking Democrats stopped and blocked that ass. And, you know, and he was running on trying to get an amendment and fight against the McCutcheon decision and overturn that shit.
Right.
And Tim Canova was actually on noted Bernie bro, misogynist Nicole Sandler. Nicole Sandler, misogynist Bernie bro, Nicole Sandler.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Canova was on her show and actually debated McCutcheon right there live on the show. And, of course, waxed his ass intellectually. But McCutcheon's a McZillionaire, so right. Fucking big money wins by default. All right. Fun stuff, fun things. Daily Beast reaching out. Keep in mind, Daily Beast, like, that's where folks like Chess Pazienza, Get Lost Boy, Go Visit Your Big Cousin, Triggered to Death by Donald Trump, Chess Pazienza, and Bob Seska, they get published there.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and more so the Daily Banter, though. That, like, that's more their home joint is the Daily Banter.
Oh, shit. And what's the other one?
Salon?
Vox. Yeah.
Vox be on some shit.
Which, like, you know what's funny about this, though, is they're trying to do their, like, subtle reach out, but all these stories, none of them are, like, about real policy. You know what I mean? Because it's like, yeah, sex workers' rights is awesome and amazing, but we're not at a place in the country where, like, decriminalization is actually, like, on the table, really. You know what I mean? Like, and this shit with Antifa, it's not, it's going to be deemed unconstitutional, so it's not, like, an issue, really. Like, yeah, some people are going to get fucked up in the meantime, but overall, this isn't, like, a platform policy issue. Like, they're not fucking talking about this the way they are talking about, like, actual issues the way they talk about this shit. Like, they're not talking about, like, fucking Medicare for All the way they're talking about sex worker rights right now, because they know sex worker rights isn't really going to go anywhere for a very long time.
And that's also, it's not, you don't fight for that because that's not in the foundation of the corporate state of McMurrica.
Right.
Because that's fighting for people to be able to safely run their own legal business without a fucking boss.
Right.
You know, and for them to be able to unionize with other business owners that aren't even, like, you know, under the same, you know, sort of like company.
Yeah.
Like, if you yourself are a company, I'm sure, like, each individual sex worker can be their own brand.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you can still unionize with someone else who is also their own brand, but you don't both work for, you know, McPanties or whatever.
McPanties, yes.
Yeah. We're very close to a McDonald's. I was trying to think of a
that
name.
That would be a great name for a selling used panties business, McPanties.
McPanties. I tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. So, like, it can't be for that. Like, marriage equality, that's a fair deal because you get tax breaks and whatnot from that, and get the hospital rights visits.
Yeah.
But you don't. You can't just have your own business that you run out of your house just based off the fact that, hey, we are very gay. Do you want to come see us hold hands? Like, right. Yeah, like, there's right. there's no business out of that. So that's helping sex workers is against the foundation of the corporate state of McMurrica.
Which really, and I'm just going to call it now. I think maybe in like a year or two, this might be a Phoenix told you so.
Oh.
I think a lot of the stuff around, particularly with sex workers' rights, the way they're framing it, is a lot to do with Sesta Fosta, because once Sesta Fosta is further implemented for a longer amount of time, it's starting a little bit now, it's just going to get worse, that police can't actually find trafficked people or sex workers. So it's really just going to hurt the community overall. Like, I know, we've been saying that. But people who are paying attention, who are, like, centrists or kind of, like, Democrats, they're starting to see that. And so they're starting to couch it now. And this isn't actually about helping sex workers' rights. This is about repealing Sesta Fosta because it isn't working. Not about actually helping sex workers.
And Theo Loco said, McPanties, I support black businesses. All right. That's fair. That sounds like a whole lot of freedom and a whole lot of liberty there. And,
it is a lot of freedom and a lot of liberty.
What was that other one I wanted to hit up? Was
Maxine.
The Maxine Waters.
Yes.
And then that should be it for the free feed. And then we go to the Patreon-only feed. Yeah. Skibby Floopy Jibby Doo. Prosecutor. This guy. This fucking guy. This is coming off of the Washington Post. Posted by Eli Rosenberg. Seems to have a lot of control over the media on this page. I took
you. What the fuck was that joke they made on BoJack Horseman?
Oh, BoJack Horseman. They were talking about juices.
Oh, the juice rules the media.
Yeah. All right.
That was funny.
So this fella is actually in California. I think that makes his threat even more relevant due to proximity. Mm-hmm. California prosecutor is getting placed on administrative leave as his office investigates his office. Investigates him. His office investigates his offensive comments made on his socialified media accounts. The county district. What up?
Can we also, again, with the fucking soft offensive? it was merely offensive. He didn't say somebody deserved to die and encourage the murder of somebody. That's a little bit past the point of offensive, my nigga.
Yeah. That's all. They're just offended by it.
Yeah.
The Negros know we don't mean nothing by it. We've been treating them mighty good over the past couple days. So he's administrative leave. They announced this ish on Monday. Right now it is Wednesday, July. I almost said 27th. No, it's 5:27 p.m. July 11th. Oh, today is 7-11. Go get yourself a free fucking Slurpee before the end of the day, fuckface. So Michael Selyam, his name.
All right.
So Michael Selyam, S-E-L-Y-E-M, Selyam, who leads the, quote, hardcore gang unit.
Is there a difference between the softcore gang unit and the hardcore gang unit?
The softcore ones on Cinemax, the hardcore ones on the internet. There's FCC violations with the hardcore gang unit.
Okay.
You gotta slow down the hard. You remember, like, they have the, they got those hardcore gangbanging sex workers in that one.
Yes, there are the hardcore sex worker gangs,
yeah. Yeah, shit gets a little real. All right, fucking stainless steel dildos and wrought iron. It's fucking rough, man. They fucking fist each other with brass knuckles. It's no joke. It is no joke with the gangbanging sex workers.
It's real in these streets.
Especially when the white sex workers from the suburbs gentrify your hood. Sure. So he's with the he leads the hardcore gang unit at the San Bernardino County District Attorney's Office, and he is the subject of an internal investigation, according to a statement from District Attorney Mike Ramos, after reportedly targeting Representative Maxine Waters, Democrat California, the former First Lady Michelle Obama, immigrants and Mexicans in comments on his social media accounts. I house immigrants and Mexicans. Like, cross the border or not, he's talking shit.
Yeah.
Give a fuck.
It's multinational shit talking.
Multinational, maybe even intercontinental. We have no idea how far the shit goes. He might be reaching for islands.
He probably is.
Yeah, maybe Atlantis. He's going under the ocean. I don't know if Atlantis actually existed or not. According to images published in the San Bernardino Sun newspaper, Mr. Selyam recently attacked, I don't typically use that term, but it's in the article, recently attacked Maxine Waters after she called for the Trump administrative members to be harassed in public. No. Called for you to walk up to him and talk that gangster shit and tell him what the fuck you think. Nigga, I can talk to you. You ain't that fucking special, nigga. You're not above words being said in your direction.
I mean, you are a public figure, so embrace the public.
Yeah, nigga. Quote, being a loudmouth in the ghetto, they put dot, dot, dot. He called her Michelle B word? Roxanne B word?
Samantha B word.
Yeah, he called her a Samantha
B word.
Oh, no,
he didn't. He called her a cunt.
Yeah, that's a Samantha B word. That's what Samantha B called Ivanka. And then everybody was like, oh, you can't call her that. And then she did what fucking Democrats always do.
She apologized.
I shouldn't have said that. While they're over there, again, never forget, Tiller, the baby killer. Like, they're over there talking wild shit. They're talking about grabbing them by the pussy and slamming your head on the car door and saying there were good people on both sides. They're saying they have calves like cantaloupes because they're crossing the desert with 100 pounds of marijuana. What else are they saying?
I think they're still on the birther shit, too. They're still on the birther shit.
Hell, Donald Trump used curse words and he said bomb the shit out of them.
The sons of bitches. The football players are sons of bitches.
They are sons of B-words. Sometimes nephews. You never know. Little cousins and whatnot of B-words.
Yes.
You know, what the fuck? He went up on stage and argued that he had a large penis on the debate stage.
Did.
Like, there's a, I like crass things. But there's a level of tacky when we're supposed to be arguing policy to where your penis need not be part of the policy.
Well, you can trust him because he has a big penis, and anyone with a big penis can make good policy, obviously.
Yeah, okay, like Obama with the Blue Lives Matter bill. That was just a way of saying the black guy. All right, that was tacky of me. All right, so according to the images published, right, saying they should be harassed in public, being a loudmouth cunt in the ghetto, you would think someone would have been shot her by now. He wrote, and in much more explicit manner, according to The Sun, Mr. Selyem also posted a fake picture of Michelle Obama holding a sign that said, "Trump grabbed my penis," running on with the transphobic and very much a misogynist, yes. Black woman's obviously a man type of shit. And which Alex Jones has one of the wildest segments on that you'll ever fucking hear in your goddamn life. I think that shit's from like late 2012, early 13. It's a wild Alex Jones segment. And he also, with the notion that Michelle Obama is a man, is a smear that has grown in some conspiracy theory-minded circles on the right. No, it's not. They don't actually think that. They just like saying it. Motherfuckers gotta stop. You can't believe all, like, there's some conspiracy theory folks you might believe on their shit where they're like, I don't think we really landed on the moon. Or the ones that are on that 9/11 shit.
Yeah.
Or really, anything that a multitude of different areas of black people and black thought. I've got mine. I probably have some in my head. I'm just like, somebody's up to something there. You know? Because black people have a great deal of reason because white people have conspired against us many times in many capacities. Beneath a Breitbart article, he reportedly wrote, quote, "I am all for white males immigrating here legally and starting a business. It is the terrorist assholes sneaking in here wanting to kill me and my family that I am opposed to." Everything's gay if you think about it.
Everything is gay if you think about
it. He's here for white males coming. Yes. He don't want... Stop bringing over all these broads. All right? Need more fellas. Yeah. More fellas. Don't worry about what we're doing. All right?
Grabbing penises, obviously.
I'm just trying to experience. He also posted a picture of a man in a large sombrero with the caption, quote, "Mexican day of the word, Mexican word of the day, hide." That's,
I did not know Mexican was its own language. That is fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, Mexish, Mexanese, I don't know how you say it. The post came to the attention of Ramos's office on June 28th, and the office said that, Ramos said the office has received, quote, "more than several complaints and has been flooded with calls from around the country since the news was publicized." The Sun, that news outlet in San Bernardino, published its report on Friday. It was not clear exactly when Selyem would be placed on administrative leave. Ramos's spokesman, Christopher Lee, did not immediately return a request for comment.
Okay.
Mr. Ramos told reporters Monday, it's now Wednesday that we're recording this, that he was concerned about the efforts, about the effects the comments could have on the integrity of his office, citing a remark Selyem reportedly made online that a civilian who was shot by police, quote, "got exactly what he deserved," end quote. And Ramos further said, quote, "I was offended by his comments, not just as a district attorney, but as a prosecutor. And I think then further as a district attorney, I was really concerned with the comments regarding officer-involved shootings because we handle those cases, as you know, on a daily basis." End quote from Mr. Ramos. Mr. Selyem faces possible disciplinary action, including termination, to which he'll just get rehired again for a bigger salary, Ramos said, and a step for which some activists have already called. His caseload is being reassigned.
Which is also, like, what are you supposed to say? Obviously, he hates black people, he hates immigrants, he hates Latinos, and his job is in the gang unit, so...
The hardcore gang unit,
excuse me. Mm-hmm. So, how do you trust this person to use their prosecutorial discretion, which is a very broad-ranging thing, to use that fairly? Obviously, this is the kind of person who's going to be like, I don't know, he's black, he must be in a gang, let's try to convict him for a crime he had nothing to do with. RICO! You know, like that kind of shit. Of course he's got to fucking resign.
Yeah, I'm in a gang, hell.
What gang are you in?
Wine Cellar.
The Wine Cellar gang?
Yeah. A lot of niggas is down. We practice Negrotarianism. Doobie doop skip bop flippity
doo. I found him.
Oh, you found him?
Hick hop Jimmy, Big Jimmy.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We might bring that up. Might bring that up. Ramos said he's bracing for potential motions and challenges to cases in which Celium had worked. Yeah, like shit that he worked on might have to fucking get overturned. People, motherfuckers might have to get
exonerated.
Yeah, that. Yeah. I wasn't even going to think of that word. I was going to say cases overturned.
Oh.
Or repealed. Or can they repeal cases? Is that what you do?
Overturned.
Overturning them.
Yes, overturn them.
And Theo Loco from the Twitter to the Facebook said, the Dems are weak, 99% of them. Said, immigrants don't contribute to McMurrican culture. Steve King, yes. I think that's what he said that on Press the Meat on NBC and gets replayed on MSNBC. And he said, can I join that gang?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, so it's pretty easy to get put on. I'm throwing punches at the camera. Boom, boom, and you're banging with the hood. Bam, just like that. Put on the set. Very easy. It's not like the old days. There's a quote from Ramos, another one. We have had no prior indication Mr. Celium had any type of bias regarding his cases. Get the fuck out. So in random chat in the office, that water cooler shit, he didn't say anything.
Nope, never said anything.
Nothing. Nathan, Nathaniel.
I mean, the kind of person who's comfortable enough to use their Facebook page to say racist shit would never be comfortable enough to say racist shit in real life. Everyone knows that.
And I bet that to Ramos, he probably just made jokes about fucking black people.
Right.
And going by Ramos's last name, he's probably okay if you're just making a little joke about the Mayates every once in a while.
Right.
Hey, that's all right. I mean, hey, we all know how they are. Well, I mean, our guy on Fox News said it was the hoodie's fault.
Uh-huh.
The hoodie had just as much to do with this as George Zimmerman did.
Yes.
Geraldo Rivera. All right. And I think that ought about do it for the free feed, and then we're going to go into what up?
I didn't do the update yesterday.
Oh.
Somebody asked me for the names. Let me just read the names. That's all. Super fast.
Yep. On the Democrats that got endorsed.
Right, yeah. So we were talking, I think it was two episodes ago, about the Rhode Island issue as far as endorsements go. So the endorsement was repealed for Michael Earnhardt. He's the guy who was actually a Trump supporter. The Democratic Party endorsed him over the actual Democrat incumbent. That one has been rescinded. Then they also endorsed Greg Acciardo, who was a senator in the late 80s. In 94, he was convicted of vehicular homicide. In 1992, he was charged with a DUI, but the case was appealed and his conviction was overturned. In 2008, he was charged with a DUI and given community service. And 2010, he was again charged with a DUI. In 1998, he was sentenced to 3 years in prison for harboring criminals Michael Rossi and Louis Marchetti. That's the guy that they chose to endorse. after his criminal record came out, they rescinded the endorsement, but they won't endorse anyone. So, who you should actually vote for is Bridget Valverde. That is the incumbent there. The party leadership also refuses to endorse Jeanine Calkin, and they refuse to endorse Marsha Ranglin Vassell, who is a black progressive woman. You should vote for these people. And it's also worth noting that these politicians are going to need help running their races, because as long as the party does not officially endorse them, all the other Democratic caucuses are legally prevented from supporting them and helping them. So right now, the Rhode Island Women's Caucus cannot help Marsha Ranglin Vassal, Janine Kalkin, Bridget Valverde, or Moira Walsh, because they're not officially endorsed by the party. So they're really getting screwed on getting, you know, money, on getting helpers, on getting volunteers, on getting the word out. So, but you know, it's not an old boys club or anything like that. But that's who you should vote for. And then they also have a endorsement for John Carnevale, who is a former cop who was arrested, accused, and formally charged of sexually assaulting a wife of a former cop co-worker in 2011. The victim accused him of masturbating in front of her and then trying to rape her. He was never convicted because the victim died before trial. He is also divorced from his ex-wife, Jennifer Reed. Reed has accused Carnevale of domestic violence, filed restraining orders in 1998 and 1999. They got divorced in 2000, but he was stalking her, so she had to file a restraining order again in 2004, and claims that he has been arrested three times prior for domestic violence incidents in which he choked her, slapped her, and hit her with electrical cords. Charges were eventually dropped all three times because she wouldn't testify against him. Obviously, I would probably wouldn't have testified against the guy either. He was indicted for perjury in 2017. He made sworn statements about his place of residence, which were later determined to be fraudulent because he lived outside the district he was supposed to be representing. So he faces three counts of felony perjury and a misdemeanor for filing false documents to obtain tax breaks. The trial hasn't come up yet, but he still filed to run again for state representative of June this year. He was endorsed, and the endorsement still stands over incumbent Ramon Perez. Obviously, we should maybe try to push for Ramon instead of John Carnevale, C-A-R-N-E-V-A-L-E. He's a rapist. Don't vote for him. All right, that was your update about Rhode Island. Shit. I apologize because we didn't, like, name all the names. There's all the names. Okay.
Shit.
Yeah.
That was a, I don't know. It sounds like there's good guys on both sides.
Sounds like there's good people. There's fine people on both sides of the situation. What?
Man, they got a lot of good dudes, I'd say.
Whew.
Nice hombres.
Yes.
Fucking, and coming up in the wine cellar, somebody with farm equipment runs their own type of race.
Yes.
Their own type of chase bank, if you will. All right. Things go down. People steal signs. People fight back on signs being stolen. They're not fans.
Not fans, yeah.
Sometimes you break into a house. Sometimes you break into a room. This is white on white crime. This is white on white Wednesday. And some people rap.
And some people have issues while driving. Don't forget that one.
Jesus Christ.
It was in a stop sign.
It's in there. All right. It's fucking in there. Niggas stop. I don't think it's issues while driving. I think this is a responsible driver.
It's a responsible driver? All right. We'll let y'all decide how responsible. Stay tuned.
Yeah. And that's it for the free program. And then the rest of this is going to be Patreon only.
Yes. Theo, let us know if you're not in that group so you can continue watching.
Yeah. The WineCellarMedia.com supporters group. And that's where the video will continue while this video on WineCellarMedia.com ends. And also where the podcast audio ends. That's the end of it. PayPal.me/Phoenix and William, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Once you get on the Patreon, find me on the Facebooks or Phoenix on the Twitter, William J. Jackson or Uppity Negress. Get at us. Let us know you want to be in that group for the videos. And also, I'll just be posting the links to the videos directly into the Patreon. All right. So folks that are listening for the whole show, it'll just keep playing. And for other folks, it's ending.
You are listening to White on White Crime in the Wine Cellar.